Goldman Sachs is trying banking for the masses, but it's been a struggle.
So this was a big departure from Goldman, and it's been an expensive one so far.
And scammers are finding more opportunities online.
Scammers appear to have a lot of success of finding victims on online marketplaces such as Craigslist and eBay.
Plus, we'll have the latest on the impeachment process. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at why Goldman Sachs is struggling with its consumer bank, Marcus, it lost $1.3 billion on it so far. Here's what you missed. House Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff said that the whistleblower at the center of the impeachment investigation is expected to testify soon. Mr. Schiff said precautions were being taken to protect the whistleblower's identity. Congress is currently on a two-week recess, which means impeachment hearings will likely start in a few weeks. From Washington, Siobhan Hughes has more on what this narrow impeachment inquiry could involve.
We don't know exactly what the articles of impeachment would involve, but House Democrats have sent some pretty clear signals about what they're thinking. One possible article of impeachment would relate to obstruction of justice, which, as Adam Schiff said over the weekend, would become more likely if the State Department refuses to turn over records. Another possible article would relate to corrupt abuse of power or using the power of Mr. Trump's office for political gain over a potential 2020 rival. Both of those traditionally have constituted grounds for impeachment.
Over the weekend, President Trump tweeted that he wanted to meet the whistleblower, saying, like every American, he was entitled to meet his accuser. And tens of thousands of protesters poured into Hong Kong's streets yesterday for the 17th straight weekend of protests. From Hong Kong, Natasha Khan has more.
What we saw yesterday was some of the most violent clashes between protesters and police in a summer of already very vigorous protests across Hong Kong. Marchers vented their anger at Chinese banks, smashing and spray painting ATMs at the Bank of China. Police, for their part, also started the day off with tear gas rounds almost immediately before the march began, and fired jets of blue dye from water cannons. So all in all, yesterday was a pretty volatile day.
Natasha says the protests come ahead of a pretty big week for mainland China.
So Tuesday is the 70th anniversary of the founding of Communist China. It's National Day and will be celebrated with much fanfare in Beijing. In fact, the chief executive of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam, has just flown to Beijing as part of a delegation to celebrate those festivities. In Hong Kong, there's going to be a flag-raising ceremony tomorrow. But we are expecting, and the government has announced that they will be a bit more muted. And at the same time, there are a number of demonstrations that protesters are calling for across the city tomorrow. So we'll be watching closely, and we are not really sure what will happen.
And the fast fashion chain Forever 21 has officially filed for bankruptcy protection. The company said it will close 350 of its 800 stores worldwide and exit its businesses in Asia and Europe. So what led to its downfall? Well, one misstep was that Forever 21 decided to expand its real estate footprint after the 2008 crisis. That's right when many other retailers were pulling back. That left it with a lot of real estate at a time when many of us have stopped shopping at malls. But it's not alone. In the first half of this year, 14 retailers with at least 20 stores filed for bankruptcy. Those include Payless and Gymboree. Now, our main story this morning. It has to do with the future of Goldman Sachs. The investment bank has been trying to attract a very different type of customer lately. These are people who are looking for traditional banking services like savings accounts. The retail banking effort is called Marcus, but it's been struggling. Charlie Turner has been finding out why from Peter Rudiger.
Peter, Goldman Sachs has been known as a bank that focused on stock trading, mergers, IPOs. But isn't the company pinning its hopes, or at least more of its hopes, on Marcus, its consumer lender? How has Marcus done, really, since it launched in 2016?
So this was a big departure from Goldman, and it's been an expensive one so far. So since it started making its first loans and deposits about 3 years ago, Marcus has lost $1.3 billion. And that's gone to things like buying a couple other startups to kind of leapfrog some of the other competitors, to hiring a lot of people to staff call centers, to really just sending out pieces of mail to get other people to take out one of their loans. So it's been an expensive proposition so far.
Goldman has had to find customers in a bid to compete with other consumer banks. Isn't it doing this through acquiring or partnering with other companies?
That's right. When the biggest banks in the country, think of JP Morgan Chase or Wells Fargo, have thousands of branches all across the country. Goldman is a much newer bank. It's a digital bank. There's a website. It doesn't have any branches. So rather than kind of hanging a shingle on the corner and hoping somebody walks by and opens the savings account, it kind of has to go find the customers where they are. So a credit card that with Apple is one good example of that. Apple has, you know, 100 million iPhone users in the U.S. So what better way to kind of tap into a base of young, tech-savvy consumers who are willing to spend than kind of offer a credit card through Apple? Some other examples that we report in the story is they're actually talking to AARP about maybe extending some banking services to their 38 million senior citizens who are in AARP.
Are they really counting a lot on this partnership on a credit card with Apple? Where do things stand right now? Has it had to concede a lot of the business partnership to Apple?
So this is Goldman's first ever credit card. Because of that, in order to kind of get to where some of the other big banks that have issued cards for folks like Amazon and American Airlines, if Goldman wants to be on that level, it knew it needed a big partner. And Apple knew it needed it to kind of get to where it wants to be. So because of that, there was some leverage in the relationship that Apple could extract over Goldman.
So where do things stand with Marcus right now? Is Goldman in some sort of regret stage, or is it in the toddler stage with Marcus, which is only 3 years old? I mean, what has to happen for Marcus to stop losing so much money, which I believe you mentioned was $1.3
billion? $1.3 billion, that's right. They're definitely in the, I guess, the toddler phase, right? They're 3 years old, so toddler so far. What do they have to do? They have to kind of get beyond the build phase of the program to just kind of let it run for a couple of years. So when you're making your first loan, you have to build all kinds of systems to, you know, send out those pieces of mail, to actually collect the payments, to actually go after delinquent borrowers. And once those are built, you can kind of sit back and hope that you've made the right choices in your risk models and the money could come a little bit more. But, you know, because they've never done this before, there are some self-inflicted wounds they've made that they maybe would do differently if they had to do it over again. So, for instance, when Marcus launched its loan program, one choice that they made was not to have a team of specialists, you know, committed to the act of collecting payments from delinquent borrowers. Now, part of that was motivated by the fact that this is Goldman Sachs, who famously was called the vampire squid after the financial crisis. Headlines like, you know, Goldman Sachs, you know, sues grandma to try to recover, you know, delinquent loans is not something that the PR department there really wanted to see. So they were a little gun shy on doing some of that. Otherwise, there's, you know, in the category of rookie mistakes, I would also, you know, say that this Apple card was a huge build and maybe they didn't anticipate the resources that it would entail. So, you know, in order to get this thing launched on time, which debuted in August, they actually had to kind of repurpose, you know, hundreds of engineers all around Goldman. So projects that they were working on in other parts of the firm had to be put on hold. Everybody had to come to Marcus to kind of get this Apple credit card launched on time.
We should say that Apple and Goldman declined to comment for our article. You can find the full report up on WSJ.com. On to markets. U.S. stocks are hovering near record levels, but here's a conundrum for you. Fewer individual stocks are contributing to the rally. Columnist Mike Bird explains why.
So as well as where U.S. equity indexes are trading at, investors also pay a lot of attention to a concept called market breadth. And that basically means, is a market being led higher by a handful of stocks doing very well, or the whole of the market generally doing very well? And now, if the whole of the market is tending to do very well, that probably tells you something good about economic growth in a country, or about corporate governance, or about any number of things, as long as it applies to a broad range of companies. Now, when it applies to a small group of companies that are dragging the index higher by performing extremely well, that's a source of worry for investors. They've worried in the past when that's been the technology stocks, the Apples and Facebooks of the world doing extremely well. This time, it's actually not those stocks. It's sort of beaten down stocks in sectors like energy and the banking sector. But all the same, when a rally is being led by a small group of stocks, it feels more tenuous, it feels more risky, because the risk is that something bad happens to that sector, to those few stocks, that disrupts the whole rally for investors.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. America's shale boom is slowing. U.S. oil production grew less than 1% during the first half of this year. That compares to a 7% growth rate during the same period in 2018. So what's causing the slowdown? Well, there are a few factors, including wells producing less and sweet spots running out sooner than expected. And the online ads that you willingly click on are more likely to make you a scam victim than robocalls flooding your phone. That's according to a new study of consumer behavior towards fraudulent schemes. Yuka Hayashi has more.
According to this study, the most successful kind of a scheme conducted by scams is something called online purchase scams. And there are some variations on what they do. But if the scammer is posing as a buyer of some item on, say, Craigslist, he or she would send a check to the seller and say, whoops, I overpaid. Could you write a check to me for the overpayment? And the seller does that. Then the seller also notices later that the check that the initially sent by the buyer was also fake.
Representatives for Craigslist couldn't be reached for comment. An eBay spokesman said the company's technology, combined with its partnerships with rights owners, law enforcement, and government officials, ensure a safe shopping experience for its customers. Finally, here's a question for you. Does getting stoned help you get toned? Don't laugh. That's the headline on an article we have out. We're reporting that some fitness junkies say that they've added smoking weed to their fitness routines with positive results. The reasons? Well, they say it helps them ignore pain, stem off boredom, and concentrate on small muscle groups that require repetitive movements. In fact, in May, a nonprofit representing more than 100 former professional athletes, including Mike Tyson, asked the world's anti-doping authority to remove marijuana from its list of banned substances. However, researchers warn that marijuana can carry health risks, and the Worldwide Anti-Doping Authority says on its website that it might contribute to injury. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.